Hey, good morning. It is a new day. Thank God. Welcome, everybody in the room. Hello. And now, so last week, Gary Harrison was here, and I watched the recording of him here, and I noticed how much our we've got this great like noise suppression going on in our live stream. I don't know if y'all in the room know you're being suppressed. Like, okay, so you, everybody who's listening to the recording or you're in the live stream, a whole group of people just laughed just a moment ago. I'm not going to be able to narrate all of the interaction in here, but it would be good if you were here. And I know we're going to take a look at that. At that noise suppression and see if we can suppress you guys a little bit less so that people know there actually is life in this room. There actually are interactions that are going on. This morning, we're going to continue looking at what it means that we're made for more. We're going to continue discovering what it looks like when we realize that we are a masterpiece, God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus for the good things he planned for us long ago. You have a place, you have a purpose, and what we're going to see today is you have a power that you're given in order to advance God's plan. I don't know about any of you. I had somebody ask me yesterday, "How are you doing?" And I wanted to be honest. I said, "I'm tired." I don't know what your week was like. My parents who live in Florida came home because their best friends were watching their son who's in his 30s, watching him die from issues with medications that he's been on for a long time. So that was hard, and even on our staff, we're praying for Rachel and her family as her grandma's gone into hospice. We're praying for Heidi and her family as her mother-in-law is fighting for her life right now. And just like on Thursday, we're kind of talking about, wow, this is such a heavy week. And then I was called in literally late Thursday morning to address a credible suicide threat. And that's how I invested my afternoon. And the words, "I'll see you tomorrow," never sounded so sweet after spending hours with somebody who was, you know, planning on not having tomorrow. And yet, oh, it's tiring. I don't know how people do it when they don't have a church family. I don't know how people face the realities that we all face at one time or another without knowing there is a God who loves us so much, he sent his son so that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. I don't know how people do it without knowing that there is a God who conquered death. So when we get together and hear from God's word, there's more going on than participating in a Christian club, right? There are important promises that we hear. This seems like a good time to pray. I got as I look around the room and see people nodding their heads about agreeing that there are challenges in life, as I see eyes welling up as people remember some of the hard things that they're going through right now or hard things that they've gone through in the past, I pray, God, that indeed what's happening in this space and what's happening among these people would be more than just a Christian club. I pray, God, that you would you'd give us wisdom and knowledge about what it means to be the body of Christ, what it means to be advancing your plan, what it means to have a place, a purpose, and a power that comes from you. Let us walk out of here celebrating all that you're doing, even as we see a world that's so full of pain and darkness. God, give us the hope. Let us be the light of the world. Not by our own power or strength or trying harder or being better, because we are united to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Why does the church exist? Now, our key text today is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to give a little bit of context, though, from Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Acts takes place after the resurrected Jesus has been interacting with the disciples for a while. And he says, Acts chapter 6 tells us, so when the apostles, now apostles, disciples are followers, apostles are sent ones. So Luke, who authored this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses the word apostles because he's describing those who Jesus is about to send. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, imagine, they didn't just ask him once, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? They're asking a question about political power. Is it time for Israel to stand up again and not be under Roman oppression? You guys can understand Roman oppression a little bit because you're being suppressed in this room. Verse 7, he replied, and I hesitate to say Jesus was annoyed, but if it was me, I would be. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Like, come on, guys. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This isn't about political power. This isn't about Israel rising up. It's not about Roman power. It's not about any kingdom or power of this world. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why would they receive power? To advance the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. How are they going to do that? By being witnesses of Jesus Christ, telling people about Jesus the King everywhere. Now, sometimes people say, well, I have a hard time with Christianity because what about people who've never heard of Jesus? And I think in response to that question, God goes, yeah, what about people who have never heard of Jesus? You use that as an excuse to not believe in me instead of taking responsibility and doing something about it. This verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's like an outline for the book of Acts, and then it extends into a purpose for the church today. Because in the book of Acts, we see the apostles, they spread the good news that Jesus makes it possible for anyone who puts their faith in him to be reconciled to God, to be given a new life that lasts forever. And then we see an explosion of new disciples within Jerusalem, within this city. And then the gospel spreads outside of the city to Judea, to other Jewish people. And then it spreads to Samaria, a different culture in a neighboring area. And then it goes to the ends of the earth, not because the apostles traveled to the ends of the earth, but because God brought people to Jerusalem from the ends of the earth, who then brought it to their spheres of influence when they went back home. It was a multiplying movement. And after that, you see missionaries like Paul and Silas and Timothy. They're not among the first witnesses of the risen Christ, and they travel from place to place, breaking boundaries, building bridges to bring the gospel. We read about it all in the book of Acts, which Acts is sometimes short for Acts of the Apostles. We're seeing what they did. And really, it's an account of the acts of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing, accomplishing his will through his instrument, the disciples of Jesus, the church. And that continues today. Where we see disciples of Jesus, we see people who are striving to do God's will, not because we're saved by good works, because he saved us for good works. And where people are striving to do goodwill on earth, we see glimpses of heaven, where his kingdom comes. We see relationships repaired, addictions broken, hope restored, worry turned to joy, indifference turned into love, condemnation turned into restoration. We together, the church, see and experience these things, and we together, the church, are his witnesses locally. So it's like this community is like our Jerusalem. Locally, nearby, when we help plant a church in Marshfield or Merrill, we're going nearby. We're connected to a group, the Wisconsin and Upper Peninsula Disciple Making Movements Network. We're connected to the Great Lakes Baptist Conference, Converge Great Lakes, Wisconsin and Upper Michigan, so that's nearby. And then there are neighboring cultures that are very different from ours. That's Illinois, the Samaritans, and then there's to the ends of the earth, the Samburu in Kenya, for instance, missionaries who we've sent to Japan. So Acts continues to get to today. So Paul the Apostle then helps us understand what they were seeing in the first century when disciples were made and when they were gathering. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, and I'm not going to read all of chapter 12. You can do that on your own. This is more of like an introduction to what are spiritual gifts and why are they there. And we see the Apostle Paul, as he's making observations of what's happening in the first century church, he says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Now, us, in this case, he's writing to a gathering of believers, of disciples in Corinth. So he's saying, those of us who have heard the good news of Jesus, that he's done everything necessary to reconcile us to God, and he gives that as a free gift, to those of us who have received that free gift, who put our faith in him, who unconditionally surrender our lives to him and say, my old life is done. I'm living a new life in Jesus Christ. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Verse 11, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And then he shares this analogy with us. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So he describes those gathered believers as the body of Christ. If we jump down to verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I'm a little distracted right now because I don't know what I did with my mug. Anyone? Yeah, Heidi, you see, I left it at the bar. Thank you, Heidi. No, it is. She was a little concerned because it's cold, but it's just water. Heidi gave me this mug. It says, I plan, God laughs. Thank you for that. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Someone asked me about church membership recently, and we'll have a revised membership class by midsummer, and this concept is definitely going to be a part of it. It's been part of our membership class in the past. Too often we think of church membership as being a name on a roster in an organization. The church is understood essentially as a Christian club. And we wonder what we have to do to get our name on the roster and the privileges that we'll receive when we're part of the club, like Sam's Club. You've got to, you know, you pay your yearly due, and then you have access to all the wonders of Sam's Club. But what if we thought more organically about membership? Remember, we've got this tension that the church is a legal organization. I did say a legal organization, not illegal. It is a legal organization, and it's also a spiritual organism. What if we thought about membership as more organic? What do the members, the parts of a body, do? They connect to each other. They receive from each other. They contribute to each other. They protect each other. And they're all coordinated and directed by the brain, the head. The head doesn't tell the hand to tell the elbow what to do. What Paul is helping us see is that each member of the body of Christ is given a place, a purpose, and the power to contribute, to live out God's plan. It's like the church is a giant Jesus continuing his mission that he passed on to his disciples, who passed it on to the next disciples, who passed it on to us. And a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. How do we recognize the spiritual gifts? I appreciated, as I was studying, there was a pastor who put it this way. Giftedness really is the difference between functioning and flourishing. And let me explain. There are a number of places in Scripture that lay out short lists of spiritual gifts or that give clues about certain gifts. And when Peter and Paul are writing letters to the churches, things were happening really organically. And so they're making observations. They're going, wow, look at this. This is obviously the Spirit working here. The Spirit has gifted people in these different ways. And the lists don't match, which sometimes we have a hard time with that in our Western approach, in our analytical minds, because they were obviously using an online assessment that was different from the one that we use. Of course, I mean, they didn't, that's not how they did it. They didn't do assessments. They just observed. Here's how God is working. Today, different theologians make different lists. They disagree about whether or not certain gifts are even being distributed by the Spirit anymore, because maybe they've already served their purpose. Maybe those gifts are done. And the resource that we use at spiritualgiftstest.com organizes the spiritual gifts into four different categories. And this is Western thinking. If you don't agree with this, this is another thing where you can just go, that's garbage. Fine. It's okay. This isn't, the organization of these things isn't based on scripture. It's just to help us kind of think through things. So they categorize them into different types of gifts. They say there's serving gifts. There are foundation gifts. There are revelatory gifts. And there are manifestation gifts. And I'm just going to focus in. We'll get to all of those over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to focus in on serving gifts today. And then we'll go further later. The way you recognize these gifts in yourself and in other people is not by taking an online quiz. Like, that's not the best way. The best way is to get involved in the life of the church and see what God does. The way you do that, the more you do that, the more you get involved, the more accurate your results are going to be when you take any online inventory, because essentially they're just asking you, what happens when you do this? Do you do this well? Well, you don't know that until you've tried. Functioning versus flourishing is what we're looking for. So, for instance, let's take a closer look at the gift of hospitality, one of those serving gifts. This gift doesn't specifically appear in any of the gifts lists in Scripture. And hospitality is something that is expected from every disciple of Jesus. So I'm just going to go through a cross-section of Scripture. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, he says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. That's everybody. The writer of Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And Jesus, when talking about who is going to be commended at the end of the age by God, points out that it's people who've practiced good hospitality. He says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, he says, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. And people at the end of the age are going to say, we never did that for you. And he said, no, I tell you, what you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. When you practice hospitality to people who need help, you're serving Christ the King. So we all need to be functional. We need to learn to be functional when it comes to hospitality. It's part of having the character of Christ. And yet we know some people, don't we, who are more than functional when it comes to helping other people feel welcomed and cared for. I mentioned my parents earlier. They've got this place in Florida, and it's a revolving door there of people who they're welcoming in. That's why they bought the place. That's why it has some extra space in it, so they can be a blessing, because God has gifted them to practice hospitality. I'll give you their number in just a minute. They've always flourished when it comes to opening their home. And if you know them, you've experienced that. I know some of my spiritual gifts are not. When I help out on work days here in the ministry center, I'm a functional helper. A few weeks ago, I was helping Jack here mix some concrete. You remember Jack? Okay. So he's saying, he gave me a nickname, and I don't know if I want to say it on the live stream, because I know you pick on me sometimes a little bit, and I don't want to say anything that maybe you're picking on me a little bit, but no, okay. No, it's a real thing. Okay. I'm still not saying it. So I was helping him. I was helping him mix concrete, and there was a certain point where I got bored with it. And I wandered off, and I found something else to get involved in. And I know there must have been a certain point for you, Jack, where you were like, where did he go? Where's my... Tender. Tender is the word. Where's my tender? Okay. Tending to things, not like, okay, anyway. So I wandered off, and there must have been a point where Jack went, where did he go? And then you want to have, when you're looking for someone who's flourishing as a helper, you want to have a Dale Ruck around, because he was on it. He came and he helped. And I wandered off and ended up doing something else. I mean, we had a work day here yesterday, and there's people like grinding concrete on the floor, and I'm thinking, I should learn to do that. I should learn to do that. You know what would be really good right now? Some sandwiches. So I'm gonna run to Jimmy John's, and I'll be the guy who gets the sandwich. Somebody's gotta do that. So there are some people who are gifted in serving, or sometimes called helps. There's a spiritual gift of helps. And we have a lot of people in this church who have that, and I thank God. I don't. Every disciple of Jesus needs to serve. This can't be my excuse to go, yeah, I'm going to let someone who's gifted in that serve on work days. No, we all have to be functional. That's the character of Christ. He came not to be served, but to serve. We all have to serve. It's just that if you want someone who flourishes in that area, you know, talk to Steve. I'm limited. Music is another example. On some Sundays, I play the guitar and I sing here. I'm a functional musician, but it takes me a lot of work and practice, and the results are just okay. And there are some people who flourish, not just in music, but in art and in craftsmanship. The things they produce to honor God are just, they make it look easy, and the rest of us are amazed. Now, does that mean they're the only ones who should do that? No. We all need to be functional. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, starting the second half of 18 and going through 19. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. Another way to say that is to each other. Sing to each other and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And some of you are going, I'm that one. I'm the music in your hearts person. We sing together on Sundays because this is the pattern set for us and the instruction given to us, whether we feel like we're functional or flourishing musicians. Now, if you're not there yet, that's okay. If you're not comfortable singing out loud, that's okay. This is going to be an environment, though, where that's something that we do, not even because we prefer it, but because it seems to be consistent with the character that God wants to produce in us, that we would do this thing together. Teaching is one of my gifts. Does that mean I'm the only one in the church with the responsibility to teach? No. Hebrews chapter 5, second half of verse 12 says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You is everybody. In a mature church, every disciple is functional as someone who can teach others about Jesus. And then there are some who flourish when they're given the opportunity to teach. The church isn't about a few people using their gifts and then most of the people being spectators. Each member of the body of Christ is given a place and a purpose and the power so that together we're contributing to the plan that we'll be witnesses, putting Jesus on display to everyone locally, nearby, and around the world. So in a moment, we're going to share communion. And in addition to remembering Jesus during this time, Paul the Apostle encourages us to also remember that we are the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 16. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Let's remember that today. We are one body. And God has given you a place in that body, a purpose in that body, and a power so that together we can advance his plan. Let's pray. God, as we go into a time of quiet reflection, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be present, would be uniting us, would be sparking that power in us. God, be honored by the time that we're spending now, drawing closer to you, whether someone is a believer already or whether they're hearing this and going, yeah, I'm not sure I'm there. I want to keep learning more, though. I want to keep seeking. Whether it's a believer taking communion or it's a seeker standing and just reflecting and considering what you're teaching them and what you would have them do, I pray, God, that you'd be honored by our humble pursuit of you together. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take some time to quietly reflect, and then we'll reconnect and share the cup and the bread together. Paul wrote, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And Jesus said, as we share the cup, it's a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humanity. Let's remember that new agreement that gives us hope today as we take the cup together. And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? Christ's body was broken so that our relationship with God and our relationships with each other could be made whole. Though we're many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we're one body. Let's take the bread together. Maybe this week is going to be another difficult week for some of you. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I mentioned that maybe Jack picks on me a little bit sometimes. We've had it's an honor to work alongside Jack for hours and hours in service to people out in the community and working on this building. And when he watches me use a hammer, he gave me the nickname, which I thought was pretty spectacular. He gave me the nickname Lightning because I thought I was really fast and efficient. But he said, no, it's because lightning never strikes the same place twice. So that's what I mean. That's what I mean. We are better together. We're all gifted in different ways, and that's okay. So right now, let's take some time to share with each other and to really even consider, what is God teaching you and what will you do about it this week? We're going to continue learning about spiritual gifts over the next couple of weeks. So you don't have to be quick to take that assessment or anxious to do that as part of building your profile for ministry, this worksheet. And also small groups this week are going to take a break from their regular pattern and come into this building and see the work that Jack has been doing with all of my help. And we'll enjoy a snack together. Heidi's put together a cool video that kind of gives the history of what's been happening with this space in the last 3 years. And we'll look forward to what God is doing it. So small groups are meeting here, including right after the service. If you're not in a small group, you can either hang out here today and experience that, or you can come here on Monday at 6:30, or you can come here on Thursday at 6:30 and be part of what we're just calling a dessert reception, just celebrating the things that God has been doing in our midst. So please put one of those on your calendar or just sit here. That's way easy and hang out for a while this morning. So as I said, we'll continue learning about spiritual gifts over the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned, plug in, and God bless you today.